Hey everyone, Chris McLean back again with another episode. And in the studio today, I've got Dev from Powered by Search, and they help B2B SaaS and technology companies grow ARR, just to slow that down and pronounce it properly, book more demos and drive trials with content, SEO, and paid search. Dev, great to have you here.
Stoked to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, as we you got a couple things going on that sort of came out of you sort of building Powered by Search. So take us through, how did Powered by Search come about?
Yeah, for sure. Then that takes me back to in my early 20s. So I'd started at Microsoft around age 17. I just loved technology companies and got into the marketing arm of Microsoft back then. And one of the things that I picked up over there was sort of the rise of digital. So this is back in like 2006, early 2007. And I fell in love with it to the point where as a curious guy, I basically went, okay, how do search engines work? Well, I'm going to figure that out. And that led to a couple of roles, consulting, working at other agencies. The Yellow Pages group here in Canada had an affiliate agency that they actually invited me to come on board and build up for them. So I learned a lot over there. And then right after school was done, I had a business degree over here at the University of Toronto. That's when I decided to say, you know what? What the hell? Let's try this out, this entrepreneurship thing out for 6 months. And now that was 12 years ago. So, you know, it's been a hell of a ride. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool, man. Cool. So what was it about search marketing, sort of Google? I guess back Google had sort of become the powerhouse by sort of early 2000s. We were past, I guess, the dog pile and Ask Jeeves and those original search engines by then. What was it about search, and I guess particularly kind of Google and that thing that drew your attention?
Well, it was kind of an enigma to begin with, because if you think about it from a consumer's perspective, we Google stuff all day long, right? We have problems and we have questions. We ask the search engine a question and that out comes back 10 possible answers that we can click on. And it was only after working at Microsoft that I started realizing that businesses could benefit from this by being able to show up in a way where, you know, they could get in front of their ideal buyers, right? The same buyers who are asking those painful sort of the challenges and problems that they would end up Googling, essentially. I realized the value of that firsthand by learning SEO and then starting to develop my own affiliate websites. And so now I was selling stuff with the knowledge that I had until, you know, what ended up happening is I had some people in my network saying, hey, could you do that for my business? What would that actually look like? This is still well before starting Powered by Search. And so, yeah, I think I could do that for your local business. And you know, it led to a journey around learning more about websites and content and really understanding what users wanted from a search engine like Google. And then they became a behemoth because they just got better at answering those questions and really any other kind of search engine. And that's why they are where they are today.
Yeah, certainly knocked out the competition and became the go-to. So on that journey, sort of big tech, getting sort of more into search and then eventually starting up your own agency. Do you service a particular type of client or is it just anyone? You sort of mentioned sort of B2B, SaaS and tech companies. Is that your ideal
profile?
That
came later, actually. So as a result of working with the Yellow Pages, one of the things that I got tons of experience around was specifically working with a lot of professional services businesses as well. So maybe your audience works with lawyers and dentists and plumbers and electricians and the types of businesses that you might open up the Yellow Pages for, if you still remember what that is or it feels like. These days it's used a door stopper, basically. You know, or
I don't know if you can even buy them anymore.
I don't think you can, actually, no. So we started working with those kinds of businesses, and that moved into lead generation around financial services and insurance. Working with banks and slightly larger companies. And sort of the unifying pattern was products that were household names, but had an incredibly complex marketing mix and were really in very competitive environments. And so over the years, we started doing SEO, started doing search engine marketing or pay-per-click as it's sometimes known. And the service that just continued growing basically from over there at Powered by Search. And then we noticed that early on, you know, the standard thread really was, you know, somebody who was in a competitive market and needed expertise. Often these were mid to large size companies. And then we started, you know, somewhat by default, starting to work with technology companies. And we'd been working with them since 2010. Only later on in our journey did we actually make the decision to say, instead of being broad in our focus and focusing on kind of a horizontal way of positioning, let's go vertical in terms of our positioning and only work with not just technology and software as a service or SaaS companies, but B2B SaaS companies as well. And that was a whole journey for us to actually even go down that path. It's just kind of a ballsy move to change your positioning, you know, years into a fairly mature business at that point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did you find that, what was the main difference between, I guess, you're switching from a lot more sort of localized, local SME business marketing to big rent and B2B? So switching from talking to consumers, now you're talking business to business, and particularly in that technology vertical. What was the main shift that you had to make or as a business?
I mean, a lot of it really came down to the fact that, you know, we were looking at the market characteristics, and if you're selling B2B, you trade sort of volume, you know, the sheer number of sales or prospects or customers you're dealing with, and you're really focusing on a smaller number of prospects that you go really deep with. And that really appealed to us because we were looking at all the content that we could help these folks with, helping them think through how their websites ought to be, helping them think through the simple fact that you need to have, typically at least, a sales conversation. You know, you have a demo type situation where somebody comes in, they're interested in software, being able to learn that business and then really start to dominate in that space as well. So B2B was really interesting because businesses at the end of the day, you know, work with other businesses, and that makes the world go around. But from the consumer perspective, you don't really see that because you tend to see just the household brands that are well known, I suppose. So this was trading in selling sneakers or shoes and things that we could have done from a consumer perspective, and really working more so with selling enterprise software. The other side that we found was really interesting was the recurring revenue side of SaaS. Just the fact that a customer was worth so much more to some of our clients, where, you know, just like you and I, we're recording this right now on StreamYard, I expect that you pay a monthly fee, or maybe you paid in, upfront for a whole year with this. Ultimately, that's very valuable because businesses who have recurring revenue streams are valued higher as well. And that's why if you look at the public stock markets today, technology companies are really ruling sort of the entire industry overall, compared to many of what we would call, a value investor would look at commodity businesses, oil, energy, et cetera. Frankly, I don't understand those industries very well, but I do get tech.
No, it makes a lot of sense when you've got recurring value and you've got a customer that's paying you every single month, essentially indefinitely, and see how that's a high value customer. But it's also for you on the front end of that business, if you're selling, the difference between selling one pair of shoes for a couple hundred dollars versus selling a $23 subscription for a lifetime, you can now essentially pay more for that customer, right? Because the lifetime value is greater and more valuable to the client.
100%. And the other thing to think about it from a business owner or an agency owner's perspective is you choose your market, and that has actually so much to do with how you grow and scale your agency as well. The world doesn't need another generalist consumer-facing agency. And it's one of those things where a lot of these agencies build their book of business based off relationships and doing work that wins awards and things like that. But there are hundreds of agencies that fit that mold. And so B2B was one way to slice the market and say, you know what, we're choosing a path and therefore we're not choosing B2C. And then further niching down into technology and software meant there were even less players in the space and less expertise to tap into. And so we kind of got this like a nice little corner of our world really right now, where the benefits are we get to focus. The other benefit is every client that we work with leads to more clients because they're part of a tight-knit community overall and they talk to each other. And it creates better systems as well, because it's very hard to sell insurance one day and plumbing products the next day and to sell shoes via e-commerce or something like that. in the same breath or in the same week, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. That is the benefit of niching down and even micro niching, like mm-hmm. you're saying, picking one vertical and then one set of services to supply that vertical, rather than going the traditional,
right,
multi-tiered, multi-vertical sort of full service agency model. We do see a lot of agencies coming up and growing quite quickly because they hyper niching. They're getting very, very niche down, either on product or on market or on both, mm-hmm. like you have yourself. And I think that it's an interesting twist, right? Because you think, well, I'm eliminating 99% of the market. That means I'm probably going to make less money. But in terms, it's kind of this inversion that happens, like you said, that you get to become the go-to, playing bigger fish in a smaller pond. You can really develop that expertise and, like what you're saying, get that referral of, hey, if you're similar to us and you want similar results, go and check out these guys. These are the guys that know this space specifically.
Mm-hmm. Mm. There's real value, I think, if you can think of yourself as a peer group of somewhere between 10 and 20 peer agencies that focus on a specific space, whether that's product or market segmentation. Mm-hmm. You know, if you kind of, as a group of 20, you can rise up to the top, and those businesses will always end up being successful, largely coming down to a question of fit and process and methodology, things like that, kind of stylistic differences that clients will choose one agency versus the other. But the reality in the agency world as well is that clients go through cycles in terms of the consultants and agencies that they hire. So it's very likely that over a 5-year period, the longer term you think out, they're likely to have worked with some of the top players in that space at some point or the other. So it's kind of a virtuous cycle at that point. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult if you think about you being in a sea of 200 to 500 agencies that do the same thing that you do. So being able to be meaningfully differentiated in that space becomes darn near impossible at that point.
Yeah. I mean, you can imagine being a generalist SEO agency, mm-hmm. right? And that's, you just say, we do SEO. That's a pretty big pond, and that's everyone from the guy on Fiverr that's offering SEO services right up to, you know, your bigger agencies that are offering global SEO. Yeah. So totally agree with what you're saying, that the more you can niche down. And of course, you develop that expertise as well, which I think is really, really important for the customer, that when a customer is coming to you, you're not saying, oh, well, you know, we sold some shoes and then we did some insurance, as you're saying, then we did some finance and then we did some real estate. No, we just do B2B software. That's what mm-hmm. we do. And we mm-hmm. do SEO for that. That's okay. And that's what I want. That's how you can build that market and kind of dominate. And I like what you're saying about that sort of cycle of, if you're in that space for long enough, you're probably going to get to work with customers in that base, because they do tend to cycle through agencies over time. So a lot of benefit out. And that's a good point to lead into sort of the second part of what you're doing, your sort of second career. You run milliondollaragency.coach. You offer coaching to agencies looking to do similar things. So take me through that. How did Powered by Search and everything that you learned and picked up through that process, how have you translated that into the coaching?
So one of the things that I did, and what I found that most agency owners want is, you know, you've heard this adage of like working on the business versus in the business. Mm-hmm. 5 to 6 years ago, I came to the decision that, you know, now is really the time to start building some standard operating procedures, building a management team, working really on the business. But as I realized that in order to do that, there's sort of the hard way, which is sit down with your team, train them one-on-one, have them go through the motions of learning, showing, telling, and asking questions. And then there's the easy way, which is teach them all at once in a one-to-many type of format, build a framework or a system for them to be able to use. And I was already doing that, and with the help of my team as well at Powered by Search. And some of my agency friends caught wind of that in 2018 and said, hey, yeah, I really love how, you know, you guys have a compensation building system, or you've got a system for lead generation and for sales qualification, for example. You've got a system for being able to onboard hires well. These are all the things that we struggle with. Can you show us some of these systems? Would you be willing to jump on a call? And I did. You know, I'd be having a Zoom call with somebody and spend an hour with them, and they'd walk away pretty motivated But then they'd come back about a month later and say, I don't know, you know, that seemed great in concept, but I'm getting stuck. And around that time was when a friend of mine said, hey, I think you should actually start making this more formal. It's going to give you the push and motivation you need to impact more people who are also agency owners struggling with the same problems that you struggled with 5, 6, 7, 9, or even 10 years ago. And so what if you could go back in time and basically be of service to yourself? What would that even look like? And that's when I started Million Dollar Agency. It's part of a program called Agency Academy. And what I do over there is I work with agency owners who are typically at the six-figure mark and kind of stuck. They're working lots. They're maybe managing a number of team members, but they seem to have this hub and spoke model where everybody in the business basically comes back to them whenever there's a fire, and then they need to go into firefighting mode at that point in time. Yeah. The other thing that we frequently see is they're selling and they're marketing and they're involved in client delivery, or the client loves working with them so much that they can't seem to extricate themselves from the client management relationship. And so they're kind of stuck. And so I work with those people and help them get from their six-figure sort of run rate to an $84,000 a month run rate, which effectively gets them to becoming a million-dollar agency. And we do that by putting in systems around how they attract, how they convert, and then how they deliver, basically, as well. And when they would do those three things together, then they can scale and find more productivity, basically, in their their days as well. So they can truly get to a point where I think the three things that agency owners want really is you want a full roster of clients. You want some exciting projects that you can work with where you can pick and choose rather than being in a place where you're having to choose clients or projects because of a lack of something in your business, whether that's money or a lack of client roster. And then you want some money in the bank, obviously. That's the whole point of it at the end of the day. So those are some of the outcomes of the work that I do with agency owners.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think you've nailed that. Those are a lot of the stumbling blocks that agencies get into a sort of at any stage, but particularly sort of at that scale stage where you said love the hub and spoke model, where if you take yourself out of the business for a week, the business disappears. That's not a business, right? That's not sustainable. Right. That's where we, particularly when we come to the agency, maybe we were a freelancer, or we're the artist, right? We're the creator, we're the designer, the developer, the coder, and then we go, holy shit, now I've got an agency. Now I've got 10, 20 people to look after. I'm not getting to do the stuff that I loved. Now I've got to be the business guy. I've got to understand business. I've got to be the entrepreneur. I've got to do the finance. I've got to be the CEO. I've got to manage team. I've got all this other stuff that maybe I'm not that great at, or that I'm just not used to. I'm still learning all of this stuff, and I'm missing out on the stuff that I want to be doing in the business. And that may be I want to shift and just be doing the strategy. That maybe I want to come back and actually just do more of the coding and bring somebody else in to do that other stuff. But unless you've got as you're saying, the direction and some of the accountability to say, okay, if you're going to pull yourself out, you've got to replace yourself with something. You can't leave a void there. Right. So as you're saying, and that's what you see. If I'm taking myself out somewhere and putting myself into a specific part of the business, you want to get some systems in there. You want to get those procedures and standardize a lot of that process. So if I disappear, the business still operates and even operates better, more fluidly, right?
Exactly.
What other challenges do you see for agencies, even if once they sort of get that that going at that sort of six-figure mark and they start to shift to that seven-figure, so sort of 84K a month? What's that sort of next stage if they can get this stuff in? What other stuff do you see cropping up for them?
Yeah, so I mean, I think between the six and the seven figure mark, the big challenge really becomes lead generation and positioning and pricing to a large degree. Most agencies look at what their competitors are charging and then just match that. And so they tend to charge either based off time and materials. They tend to charge on a cost plus model. And very few really adopt a value-based pricing model. It's just a conversation where they don't know what the impact of their work is. They know how long it takes. And so they try to price it that way. The second issue that ends up happening is a lot of agencies are still focused on project-based work versus trying to get to a point where they can have recurring revenue. And the problem with projects, although they're lovely, is that they start and they finish. And if you don't have others lined up, you have to go hunt for them at that point in time. So while you're, this is a caveman analogy, while you've got projects to work on and you're working on them in your cave, the minute they're done, you have to go back out into the fields and find more clients that you can actually end up helping as well. Yeah. What one of the things I help people do is focus on building a methodology and productizing their intellectual property and turning that into a system and actually selling the system to the client as opposed to the work. You know, typically clients will ask for deliverables because that's the only way they know how to measure output. But really, are they really buying output or is it outcomes that they actually want, right? They want a result. That's why they came to you and your agency, because they've got a problem of some kind. And so if you charge for outcomes versus outputs, you can charge a lot more. It's actually very value aligned because that's ultimately what the client wants in the first place. So I find that pricing is a big one. Positioning is the other one, which is, again, trying to, you can still be a generalist firm and have a really great business, but you still need to position horizontally at some point in time. So for example, you could be the influencer marketing agency for millennials, and that's all you focus on, millennial-focused brands. That can be a lot of different kinds of brands. So you could have a sneaker company and a jukebox company, and they both focus on the same market segment. That is a form of niching down as well. But it's usually when you don't know at all who you focus on. And you know, you haven't made, you're pushed into it by default rather than by by design. That's a conscious choice basically to make as well. And I think the last one really is that I find that a lot of agency owners don't have a hiring system or they don't have a hiring funnel. So they focus a lot on lead gen to get clients, but when it comes to hiring, they tend to have sort of a 50-50. It's a coin toss in terms of a new hire working out or not, often because they hire people based off likability. You know, can I get along with this person? Do I feel like they're a good person? As opposed to looking at, will they complement me in terms of my skill sets? Like, are they good at the things that I'm not good at? Which requires a level of self-awareness on what you're not good at in the first place. So those are the three fundamental systems, I think, to put into the business around pricing, positioning, and people. Once you have that, you know, you can now start delegating a lot of that responsibility that you're taking on to these folks that you now have in the business.
Yeah, I think that, bang on, those are really critical aspects. And exactly what you just said, I think all of that, a lot of that essentially comes down to that self-awareness, right? It's that sort of value alignment, like what do I actually want this business to be? Where, what's the vision? Where is this going? And that's going to help you have that North Star of, okay, I'm hiring somebody that's going to fit a role that's going to take me towards some sort of North Star, some sort of vision, some sort of value, right? Having that self-awareness to personally say, to be able to step back and say, look, I'm not great at lead gen, so I'm going to bring in a lead gen person that's going to do that better than I am. And having that, that again, that self-awareness to drop ego as well and sort of step back and say, look, I'm not, even though I maybe I have done everything sort of out of necessity, now if I'm going to level up, I've got to replace myself in key roles, and you want to be hiring people better than you. So that self-awareness is really critical.
Also,
I think
like life is too short to be doing work that you don't like doing, you know. People tend to think about currencies and in the form of time and money, like I don't have the time or that costs too much. But I think if we were to treat ourselves better as business owners and as agency owners, energy is actually the most important currency. If you think about it, there are days where you can work 8, 10, 12 hours and still come out on top and feel like, wow, that was amazing. And there's other days where you spend half a day and you work on a client or a project that's deflating and just completely zaps you. And so I think, like, as an entrepreneur, like, your confidence and your energy is probably the best thing that you can bring to the table. It inspires other people. It lights them up. Your clients see it. Your team sees it. So to protect your energy by getting somebody who loves doing the thing that zaps you is actually a pretty magical experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, energy and attention are two of the biggest assets. That's where you can get the most leverage in any business, but in an agency, rather than sort of focusing on time and I've got to do more work, that means I've got to burn more time. If you can, exactly like you say, if you feel better and you sleep well and you're exercising, you're hydrated and your energy is good, you're going to actually be much more productive at what you're doing, as well as you're setting that energy up for the rest of the agency as well. And then you can drop your attention into fewer things and do those things better, and then bring other people in where their attention's 100% on one component rather than your split attention being on 10 things, hire 9 people or bring in resources that can leverage 100% against those smaller components. Yeah, so 100% agree. I think that's really, really important, an important shift really to understand that that's the stuff that you want to be focused on, not just burning more time.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, really valuable stuff, man. Where if people want to connect with you sort of on the coaching side, also on the Powered by Search side, where's the best places for them to come and connect with you? There's a couple up on screen and I'll drop links in the chat, but where else can they, where's the best place for them to connect with
you? So if you're an agency owner and you're looking for ways to grow and scale your agency, go to milliondollaragency.coach. There's a webinar over there called How to Get New Clients Every Month that might be helpful. It kind of has case studies from folks that I already work with in the program. And then if you want to kind of check us out and see what we're up to and how we've niched down and are working with SaaS companies, poweredbysearch.com. I'm most active on Twitter. At DevBasu is my handle over there, but also on LinkedIn. I mean, if you Google me, you'll find me. Very, very happy to connect with you.
Awesome. So go do that, folks. Go connect with Dev, whether you're an agency looking to get some of that systemization, that productization, getting your energy back, all that good stuff. Or if you're a SaaS company, technology company, looking for all that good stuff, go connect with Dev. Dev, thank you so much for swinging by. Really insightful stuff. I love the sort of both fields that you're playing with, been playing in, and obviously you've been in the game for long enough now. You know your stuff, and you sort of know how to help your clients turn their businesses around, but also take what you know and sort of leverage that to help agencies to grow and achieve the same success as you have. So yeah, appreciate you dropping by and dropping your insights today.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you having me.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for being here. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And we'll see you on the next one. Cheers.